One, two, three, four, just another day at my dead-end profession. I'm living day to day, yeah, listening to some good old country records on the radio. And yeah, what else can I say?
Welcome back to the program. I'm Ryan. With me, as always, is Dave Callens.
Hey, what's up?
And Robert Timothy on the soundboard.
Woohoo!
How was you guys' week?
That was fantastic, man. I actually got a surprise party thrown for me. Ryan, you wouldn't know. You didn't show up. But Dave, you were very generous and showed up to the surprise party my wife threw for me on Sunday.
Frankly, I find you off-putting.
Yeah.
Well, we all do, but we tolerate it.
My wife threw like a surprise congratulations on getting your master's party for me. And I got to say this. I can usually like peg a surprise party coming up. Like I can tell when people act a little weird or somebody asks me to be someplace where I'm not supposed to. I'm always like, you're either trying to surprise me or trap me. And either way, I'm on to you. But there was something about this one where she pulled it off flawlessly and we showed up and there was a whole surprise party waiting for me. It was pretty damn fun.
Now, here's the thing. There's at the place the surprise party was, there's a door on one side. Then there's a giant window, and then around the corner there's a back patio,
yeah,
which is just open.
Yeah.
We were on the back patio. So we saw your wife walk by with you, walk past the door,
yeah,
along the window,
yeah,
around the corner,
yeah,
and then into the patio. And so the whole time we're like, oh, he has to have seen us. Like, this is out. He has to have seen us. And he walked in, like, I don't know when he saw us,
yeah,
but he played it off as if it was nothing. Like, he robbed everyone.
Did I?
The joy of him being surprised.
Ironically, it was probably because I was so surprised. Like, I didn't do the fake, ooh, what, people? No, well, so my
wife...
had
zero reaction at all.
Well, my wife had told me we were going to meet our friends, which we do routinely at that place on a certain night. And so as I was coming up, I just saw some of my friends. I saw Damien and his girlfriend and stuff. And I was like, oh, cool. Okay, there they are. That's our people. And we walked up. And then I noticed there was like... You ever see that where your teacher and your mom are talking to each other in the grocery store and you're like, you are not supposed to be in the same place. My worlds are colliding. I was like, I got a Dave. There was some science faction people. There was some of my other friends. And I was like, wait, what? Why?
You're fucking up the space-time continuum.
Nobody high five. I think the world will explode. Don't put my weird friends together in the same place. And then they went surprised. And I was like, oh my, I'm legitimately surprised. And also I was like, my birthday was a while ago. What is this about?
Last Friday, I had one of these rare days, Bobby. I know when you, it's one of those days you accidentally stumble onto, and they kind of sneak up on you, where I had nothing to do all day, including my wife being at her day job.
Wow.
So it was a true free day, where it was nothing, I had like no shows that night, no meeting to do, no work.
I'm imagining Ferris Bueller's day off.
You're describing my life, basically.
Ryan put a mannequin in the bed in case Aaron came home. He's got his hand tied to a boombox.
The manager of a comedy club is trying to prove that I'm still playing. He's peering in my windows.
Played by a guy who'd later be accused of child molestation.
Well, that fits on brand for a comedy club manager. But no, I had nothing to do. And like I did not like see that on this big blank spot on my calendar.
So did you just wake up one day and go check what you had to do?
And there was nothing.
And comically, you actually had written in nothing, and you were like, ah!
And so, you know, like, usually I'd fill that with stuff. And be like, all right, maybe I'll work on the yard.
Right.
My materials for that hadn't come in. So I had literally nothing to do. And I'm like, all right. So I wake up that morning. Erin goes to work. She's like, do something good with your day. Have fun. And I'm like, all right. I'm really going to pack it all in here.
I just imagine Erin coming home. Ryan's on the porch with a BB gun shooting children. Let me do something special with my day.
That's Tuesdays.
Yeah.
So I got up when she got up at like 7 a.m. I'm like, all right, I'm really going to make the most of this day here. Before I knew it, it was noon, and I had not stopped watching videos of employees yelling at customers at their day job. I had watched 4.5 straight hours of nothing but like asshole customers getting what they deserve on YouTube. Like, holy shit. Number one, when your wife is at work, has work, and you do not, whether it's because, even if it's because you're sick, have something done when she comes back. Otherwise, it just looks bad. It could start a fucking fight.
Yeah.
Like any time where I've not had work and she has, all of a sudden I realize I have like an hour warning where I'm like, all right, I need to like make the bed and load the dishwasher just so I can point to something.
Yeah.
Because if she comes through that door after having a shitty like 9-hour day at her healthcare clinic she works at.
And you've got like a couch pillow fort built in.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Well, that's doing something.
Which I'm
room for you, babe. Come on.
I'm passed out on top of it. There's beer cans and pizza boxes everywhere. The Netflix says, "Are you still watching?"
It'd be funny if like Ryan's actually sitting at home and it just suddenly clicks as he sees her car like pull into the driveway. Like, oh shit, I've done nothing all day. He just grabs a hammer nearby and starts pounding through the drywall of the nearest wall. He's like, "I was doing renovations, hon. You came halfway through.
I almost found the gold."
Meanwhile, he's shoving all the beer cans inside the wall.
Even like that's one thing that Aaron and I had problems with when we first got together and moved in together is I tried to explain to her, I need a honey-do list, okay?
Yeah.
But otherwise, if I get up in the morning, I see dishes overflowing out of the sink and laundry overflowing and she's got work, if I don't see a list telling me to do it, I'm like, cool, nothing to do.
Not my problem.
And so like I was like, babe, if you leave me a list, that list will get done. And her whole argument was, I shouldn't have to do that. You are a grown adult. I'm like, fair point.
My favorite part about this is that Ryan takes like the duty of chores the same way that somebody who grew up in the ghetto thinks about talking to the cops. Like, if you force me to do it, fine. I guess I have to. But I don't care if somebody comes up and shoots my brother in front of me. I am not calling that detective.
Do not cooperate with laundry.
Oh shit, that's great.
Yeah, so anyways, but yeah, that like even if they say enjoy your day, if your spouse is off at work, have something done. My trick again is to make the bed that always looks like you did like 1,000 hours of work and have her smell food cooking when she comes to the door. That's a big one.
Yeah.
So
it's not even food, it's like food incense that he's burning in the kitchen.
No. One time, to your point, Bobby, I saw her car pulling into the driveway. I went, holy shit, I didn't even have any recipe planned for dinner. I literally put some oil in a pan, chopped up an onion, and threw it in the pan and hit it on. And that aroma when she walked in, I threw some garlic salt on it. She's like, smells good.
I've been considering this for a long time.
She was disappointed when dinner was just onions.
Well, she's like, oh, that smells good. I'm like, yeah, why don't you take a long hot shower? I'll get this dinner cooked. She got in the shower. I literally jumped in my car, drove to the store, came home with some hamburger meat and some tomato sauce, and I fucking got it done. She never knew I was gone.
Until she hears this.
She does not listen to this show.
Perfect.
That is a long shower, by the way. Giving you a chance to go to the actual store. I think it'd be funnier if Ryan
There's a Smart and File right behind my house.
Frantically knocks on the next door neighbor. I need some ground beef! Give me ground beef!
No time to talk. I just push past him. Yeah. Just go rummaging through his fucking refrigerator.
By the way,
those employee videos, legitimately is what I watch for 4.5 hours of like asshole customers getting owned.
I do that sometimes too. I'll fall down the hole of like street fight videos on YouTube and I'm just constantly looking going, that's a shitty right hand.
Well, that's why I can't watch those.
Yeah.
Because I'm like shouting at the fucking phone like, come on, you're dropping your left. it's strange to me. Here's what's strange to me about these videos of like asshole customers getting owned is they're posted by the customer themselves as if they won.
Right.
Like, as if they're not being the asshole. Almost all of these videos, look it up, like asshole customer. Type some variation of that into the YouTubes there. But it's always from the point of view of the asshole customer, and they're doing things like it's titled like rude employee disrespects customer. That's how it's titled, all right? But really, it's like the 9 times out of 10, the guy's like, hey, man, you can't be in here, man. You cause disturbances every time. You have to leave, sir. Oh, fuck you. I'm filming. This is going on Twitter, you piece of shit. You make $10 an hour, you loser. It's like, this guy thinks this is him looking good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never understood that point of view.
Well, you're just a crazed narcissist. So in your mind, you're like, I'm not getting what I want. Everybody will agree with me.
Okay, that's a good point.
It's become like, it's a thing now where once someone starts recording, they think that automatically makes them right.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm recording this. Yep. This is my side.
They always say that in the thing too, like, I'm recording you. I'm doing my job.
Yeah.
That's fine. But you know what? It's tough to think about what you would do. And I've never been in this situation where if I had a customer service job, a cashier or something, and all of a sudden someone took out their phone who was being a dick. All things even, all things considered, they're being a dick. They you caught them stealing one time, you asked them to leave, or whatever it was. You're completely in the right. But all of a sudden, as they're causing a scene, they take out their phone and start filming you. Bobby, what do you do?
Smoke bomb.
I think that's your only case. Like, just
all right,
out of there.
All right, let me retake this hypothetical scenario, Bobby.
I've never worked retail. Can you tell?
You're in a customer service
job. And you want with that kind of behavior.
Let me retake this, Bobby. You're in a customer service job.
Uh-huh.
Customer's being an asshole, takes out his phone, and you don't have any type of ninja weapons of any kind.
What, did I not come prepared to work?
No. You gotta,
no bat lifts.
You got to put this
no
in.
No grappling hooks.
Klingon weapons.
You got to put it in Bobby's frame of reference. Like, Bobby, you're digging up a grave,
okay, yep,
trying to find some artifacts.
Yep. And the mummy
some
starts rival, to be a dick.
Rival
the
archaeologist.
The mummy has to speak to my PI.
Rival archaeologist who's been stealing your artifacts and taking credit for your work comes in, starts belittling you, and pulls out his phone and says, hey, I'm recording this. Mm-hmm. Go.
That would be a smoke bomb situation.
Ninja weapons of any kind.
Again, I don't walk around unprepared, so I'm not sure how this hypothetical happened. All right, maybe I just got a release from prison. Let's go with that, because then I guess theoretically I wouldn't have.
You already used your smoke bombs on something else earlier in the day.
Yeah, you've exhausted all your fucking gadgets and gizmos and doodads.
I've deployed half a dozen smoke bombs already.
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
It's been a long day.
Fair enough. Do I still have my stink bomb?
God damn it.
I think, here's the thing you have to remember. What sucks for those people is you're only getting that customer's point of view, right? You don't see the shitty thing that happened before then that caused that particular employee to have
but
to tell you to get
to
your
Ryan's
ass out.
Point, a lot of times these videos include the customer continuing to be shitty.
Yes, true. But and they also have editing capabilities, right?
Yeah,
they
don't. I don't know. This type of person,
they can cut out the first half if they're being a jerk, but then you respond being a jerk a little bit later. You can look really. So you have to consider this when you're reacting to them.
Here's the two scenarios as I see them, the only two options you have. And I don't know which one I would take in this scenario. Someone gets up their phone, starts filming me. Number one, do you say, please don't film me, or I'm not continuing this if you have your... But that makes you look guilty, doesn't it?
It depends. If you're in a private business, what you can tell them is, this is private property. We actually don't allow recording here, as opposed to public property where that's, you know, you don't have the option. So I guess probably the best thing you could do is say, hey, listen, just because our employees have a right to privacy, we don't allow the filming of our employees in this particular restaurant. So if you want to continue this discussion, I'm happy to do it. Just you're going to have to turn that off.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? There's some that fucking, that's just the video. It's the guy saying, you don't have permission to film me. You have to leave or I'm calling the cops. I'm filming. It's just a video of the guy on the phone with the police. Like, all right, there's a customer here. He won't get out of my store. Like, oh, that's going on Twitter. Like, yeah.
I don't know if you guys saw this, if this was the impetus for this, but there was a case that got, I guess, pretty popular over the last 2 years. It was a girl who worked at Chipotle. Have you guys heard of this one?
And Chipotle? No. Yeah, I've heard of it.
So I guess she was working.
She came to work without stink bombs, no grappling hooks.
They wrote her up.
Well, so she was an employee there. It turns out she was like Mexican, but she looks white, so they just assumed she was white. So she's working there.
Louis C.K. in a wig.
A group of guys came in, happened to be black, and the manager went, "Oh, those guys right there, they've dined and dashed us a bunch. They order all their food, and then as they're ringing it up, they grab it and they run away."
I do remember that. Yeah.
And then, so as she was coming up, her manager told her, "You got to tell them to leave. Like that's your only thing." And she came up.
No. They said you need to pay first.
Yes, that's right.
That's not typically how Chipotle operates. Yeah. But, I mean, that's exactly what I would do if some guy had a storied history of stealing food.
Right.
Yeah, money first.
Well, and so what ended up happening is she's told them that. They filmed her. She just went home and went to bed that night, woke up with like a billion Twitter messages of people going, you racist cunt, and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Because what they filmed is her going, you have to pay ahead of time. They're like, what, because I'm black? And she's like, no, you know why. And what she was insinuating is they had had a conversation beforehand where she said, you've dined and dashed us a bunch.
Yeah.
You know why. And so they just went, oh, look, she even admits that it's because we're black. She says, like,
oh,
you know why.
Shit.
And then so she woke up with all this torrid of messages. And then some internet sleuth started doing research. And this is how unprepared these guys were. They bragged on the exact same Twitter feed, like Instagram feed, that they posted the video. They bragged about dining and dashing at that Chipotle like a month and a half beforehand.
That's funny.
And he's like, maybe we shouldn't turn these people into heroes. And also, maybe this person isn't like a crazed racist. She was just somebody doing her job.
Oh, man. That is the kind of thing that would worry me if I was working the front desk of somewhere and someone took out their phone. Like, all right, I know that I'm doing... This is the conversation that would go on in my head. I know that I'm doing everything right. I know that I'm playing this by the book, ethically and policy-wise. But Tomorrow, am I going to be like, you know, the next car park Patty or something? That it's like, the person filming this was disabled. And before, and it, all it takes is them saying, before the camera rolled, this guy said, get out, I hate cripples.
Yeah, right.
And people just take you at your word. They just take you at your word, like, oh, that son of a bitch. I'm like, I don't want to be famous for that.
See, here's the thing. It would never occur to me to like ask them to stop recording. Like, the two things that would go through my head is like, I'd pull my phone out. And be like, okay, we're recording. I'm recording
now,
too.
And then he'd lightsaber battle with the phones.
And then I would also, like, just reiterate what's happening. I'd be like, okay, sir, I'm sorry. You cut in line in front of six people, and you swore at so-and-so, whatever.
That's a good idea,
I'm
going
to have
actually
to ask you to leave.
Yeah, that's actually probably
I don't know if it would work, but that would be my reaction.
Because at least then, your way, you are somewhat protecting yourself from somebody doing selective editing to make you into an asshole,
yeah,
right? Because
you have your own footage. Version.
Right, and also, I think just you pulling out the phone would kind of, like, disarm them. So, oh, you're recording, too? Like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know?
You can't do that!
Yeah.
I already had to weather all those smoke bombs. Another story is I just read this. It's one of these little opinion pieces here. A woman is furious, furious, because a man took her out for a date and did not pay for the $180 she ran up on her half of the dinner they were having.
First of all, what do you order at Denny's to get it to $180?
Well, they serve lobster there now, I believe.
Yeah, I feel like it's still $3.
It's lobster and waffles. It's really gross.
Yeah.
So anyways, what's your guys' opinion on this? Obviously, this girl thought dinner was paid for.
Right.
As one could argue, one should, if some guy asked you out to dinner.
Yeah,
turns out she was dating one of the guys from the Chipotle scenario.
He was going to contribute his half, which was running away. Yeah, that would be interesting.
What do you feel is etiquette? Obviously, there's no rule. There's no law.
Yeah, yeah.
But in these times of, everyone wants to be equal.
Yeah.
Right? Right? And I think that's a lot of people's, their way of cheaping out on dinner is like, hey, women want equal rights, cool yoke.
But there's a validity to that, right? Yeah. Like, to the same extent that there used to be this kind of like underhanded skeezball thing of like, hey, if I take you out to dinner, you better understand you're putting out. That's just the agreement. And now we've kind of been like, okay, that's a skeezball thing. It's also fair to be able to say, okay, let's change some of these ideas about who's paying.
But shouldn't there be a conversation beforehand? Like, do you mind if we go Dutch or something like that?
Here is where I would draw the distinction. If you said, would you like to go out on a date? Then there might be a valid reason to be able to say we should pay 50-50. I asked you on a date. If you said, can I take you out for a meal or something like that.
Verbiage. We're playing lawyer ball.
Yeah. I would say that one of those indicates that you're paying. The other one doesn't necessarily. But also,
I feel like they both do because you're suggesting the date. Even the first scenario, you're suggesting. Right. So, I'm going
to
pay.
But if I went to you guys and said, hey, you guys want to go catch the new Avengers movie?
Well, we don't want to go to a movie with you.
Right.
I didn't do it in your stupid graduation party. Yeah, right? I think I'd sit next to you in a theater.
Single tier. But you guys wouldn't assume I'm paying for you just because I said that. I'm asking, do you want to go do this thing with me? And if you want to, then yes. And then if not, no.
False equivalency. This is going out with friends as opposed to a date.
Right.
So,
right.
Why does that matter? Like, why do you have the position ahead of time that a date would require?
Are you trying to make out with us later?
I mean, I'm not saying I'm not trying.
Well, then you're paying. You buy the tickets.
No, but I mean, that's a weird presupposition because what you're saying is that woman doesn't actually want to be there. She's only going to acquiesce to what he wants, in which case then that's already a weird setup as is. Like, if it's a condition where you want to date somebody, then why wouldn't it be equal pay?
Well, I think this is it's courting.
Bobby's retarded. I'm with you on this.
So here's what
but I what think. You can't court an equal? Like, that's weird. Like,
did you make Jill go Dutch when you guys were dating?
I don't think so.
Okay, there you go. And why didn't you tell me honestly why you did not?
Because he wrote up a contract that specifically stated.
No, well, if it was something that we did, but
because I was already off-putting on our first date, I said, "Hey, Jill, hold these nunchucks or something like."
That was a long time ago that we were dating, but I will tell you this: I remember there were times where she would take me out on a date, or okay, I would take her out on a date.
But,
yeah,
but,
yeah. All right. Yeah.
Okay. How far into the relationship was this? At least a few months.
I mean, I don't think so. I think it was as we were getting to know
all
each
right,
other.
Bobby, the first two dates you paid, yes.
The first date we went on was not the type of thing you pay for.
All
so
right,
like,
the first pay for it date.
They robbed the grave together.
I to be perfectly honest, we're talking about something over like 10 years ago, so it's hard to tell. But like, I would say that early on, she took me out on dates. I took her out on dates. Like, why not? She had a job. I had a job. Like, what is the?
I don't know. I think it's customary if you ask a woman out. I think whoever...
Or if you suggest the date.
Yeah. I think if you're asking someone out, as implied, let me treat you to whatever I'm suggesting. Now, on the other side, ladies, to protect yourself, if you're in a situation to where you're not sure if this guy might pull a cheapskate fast one on you, here's the two moves that you do. Number one, if a guy asks you out on a date, go, I'd love to, but I'm a little short on cash right now.
That's a good way to do that.
There you go.
There you
go. It's all out on the table. If he goes, oh, well, then let me know when your financial situation improves.
Yeah, yeah.
Then there's that. Or he goes, don't worry about it. I'll pay. That's a good move. Yep. Single ladies always go, hey, I'd love to. I'm a little short on cash right now.
However, you do run the risk of that guy possibly now having expectations. They're like, okay, I bought dinner. Let's.
Well, that's just a skeezy thing to do. There's no excuse for that in any scenario.
Well, yeah, but again, that skeeziness is kind of tied to that same weird antiquated notions. But I agree with you. Now, to the extent that what you can say is this has been the way that things have gone for a long time, and it's probably not the way things should go or will go in the future or whatever, but in this weird transition period we're in of like trying to get to a position of equality, we probably need to spell things out, right? Like my kids' generation probably won't have this problem. It'll just assume, hey, women are equals to men. We don't. There's no weird presupposition about payment. We all just kind of do our thing. And our parents' generation was the exact opposite, right? And so, like, we're caught in this midpoint. You almost have to, like, you know what you do? You pull your camera out and go, I'm taping this right now. What are we going to do for the bill?
Well, here's another thing, though, is anyone, if you believe you're out on a date, whether someone's agreed to pay or not, here's the move. Is never order more than what you'd be willing to pay for yourself.
Yes, true.
That, because it sounds like this person's like, oh, I got a free ride here.
Yeah.
I'm going to run up a $180 bill, and that's just my half.
Yeah.
So that always used to fucking bug the shit out of me when I was single. I'd be hanging around.
So now, wait, was that the whole bill was $360?
I guess.
That's insane.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know what they were doing up at that table.
Ryan, you could do VR for like $30 and it was a way better date. What are they thinking?
It really is. It really is. No, but that would really annoy me. Just the principle of it when I'd be single, I'd be at like some punk rock bar, some girl that was drinking a PBR tall can, I'd be like, ooh, here we go. I'd be like, hey, can I buy your next one? She'd go, oh, sure. And then she'd turn and go, I'll have a triple Patron shot margarita Cadillac style. And it would always be like, oh, is that what you were just going to have
next,
whether I came along or not?
You were just waiting for it.
First of all, bitch, you don't put Patron in margaritas, all right? You put mid-shelf shit in there. Second of all, I meant, can I get you one more of what you were already having, you goddamn opportunist? But let me tell you something. In this situation, both people have dodged a bullet. That guy's obviously a classless cheapskate, and this person's only in it for what she can get for free. You're both better off not around each other.
Absolutely. Ryan, I've got a question for you guys. Have you guys ever accidentally found yourself on a date?
What do you mean?
Are we on a date right now?
This happened to me in college. We were around like a whole bunch of friends. Some of my fraternity brothers and the sorority was over, and we're all hanging out and having a good time, and a new restaurant was opening. Surprisingly, it actually happened to be a Chipotle. And if you're up in the Bay Area, there was shit Mexican food up there at the time. Anybody from Southern California was excited because they thought, oh my God, there'll be something resembling actual Mexican food coming to this place. And we were all like kind of in a big room talking about it. And I was like, oh yeah, okay, I'll go check out the Chipotle. Oh, it sounds good. And a whole bunch of other people chimed in. Yeah, let's go. Hey, let's all go tomorrow. They're opening tomorrow. Let's go, like, we'll go do the, like, the Star Wars
you
premiere
attended
thing.
The opening of Chipotle?
Yeah. Exactly. Ah.
Very sad, man.
I know. And they're like, hey, man, when you can't get carne asada, you go crazy. We all agree. Like, all right, let's do it. And there happened to be one girl there who was, I don't know, we were having a good time. I wouldn't say we were, like, flirting too much. We're fine. We were having a good time. What she ended up doing is, about 10 people agreed to do this. She told all her sorority sisters, hey, you guys don't show up. Don't come to this thing, like this restaurant opening that we're going to. And then I showed up with like three of my buddies, and she kind of gave them the, hey, get out of here. Like,
she kind of gave them, I've always wanted to be in a gangbang.
Yeah. Yeah. And then it was just her and I standing in line waiting for this like Chipotle. And then we get to the end, and at some point she mentions like, oh, this is a real fun date. And I was like, wait, what? Like, I felt so tricked. And then also I'm doing the poor college student thing where I'm doing the math. I'm like, I think I have $30 on my debit card.
No, I hated that.
Okay, fuck, now what am I going to order? And then, like, what if she wants a drink? And then I was like, and the entire time I'm like, I didn't even want to be on a date. I didn't know I was on a date. How did this happen?
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
It's that sketch from Half-Baked with Dave Chappelle where you see the tally in your head.
Yeah.
I hated doing that in college, man. Like, because I was always, if I'm on a date, I'm paying. But, and you know, I wanted to get laid, so I had to ask him, I don't know, but I'm like, I went on dates knowing I had like $60.
Yeah.
And like every time they'd order, I'd go, oh shit. Oh God, that hurts. I'll have water.
I got home and I talked to my three frat brothers who were there in line with me. And I'm like, what happened? Why'd you guys fucking ditch me? And they're like, she told us you wanted to be alone. And I was like, what?
I will tell you that did happen to me in high school, but I was, this was more like a conspiracy to get me on this date. It was very, very confusing. So there was a girl I went to high school with that was a friend. She was in my friend zone. Okay. She's a very sweet girl, very smart, but very homely. I really liked this friend of hers. And all of a sudden, that friend, she previously had said, like, hey, what do you think of Natalie? I'm like, nah.
Oh. I should have tipped you off.
Yeah. But like about a month later, this girl who I kind of did had a thing for was like, hey, do you want to go to this thing? It was like a dance at another school. It was a weird thing. But anyway, it was kind of like a dance. And I'm like, absolutely. She's like, great. You know, I think I was like 14 at the time. She's like, my mom will drive us, you know. So I'm like, okay, cool, yeah. So I show up at the meeting spot, and she is there with a dude who I don't know. She's with some and also her friend, the homely one, is with her. I'm like, oh, so this is a group date. And I just assumed this rando dude was there with the homely girl. Turns out, no, the girl I like, that was her date. And all of a sudden, I realized about 14 minutes in, like, oh, I was just fucking tricked into a date.
Now imagine you, on top of that, cannot get the exact Chipotle meal that you want because you're unsure of your credit balance.
See, I've been on both. I've been back in high school.
You tricked someone.
I still am. I went to movies with a chick that I was friends with in high school.
Oh, that's right.
We went to see a movie, and then afterwards, I found out that she was telling people that, like, we made out in theater all this shit. I was like, what? What?
Yeah.
But then I've also been like where I asked a girl out that I thought was a date. And then when I got there, she had a bunch of her friends with her. I was like, oh, no, I wanted this to just be, oh, okay, sorry, my bad.
Damn it. That's why you should
have whispered in their ear, she wants you to leave. Apparently that fucking works. I've had the thing where you take a girl out on a date and she shows up shithouse drunk. So this was an interesting one that I had. I met this girl when I was drunk, and then we hit it off, made out a little bit, set up a date. I go to go pick her up. I should have known there was a problem when she was drinking wine out of a water bottle.
So oh, I remember that.
Literally hanging out. She ended up throwing the N-word around very liberally. It was not. And by the way, not a white person. And it was what I consider the worst first date of all time. But I should have known when I showed up, and she was not only, I wouldn't say it pre-gaming, she had pre-gamed. Like, the game was over. She had crossed go and not collected $200.
She was post-gaming at this point.
And she ended up already wasted. And I remember thinking, I was like, I know we're not old, but we're in our mid-20s. We're like 25, 26. Yeah. Shouldn't you have figured this out by now?
Yeah, you know, that's one thing as I get older. That's one thing I've started to lose tolerance for is people that don't understand their own limits with alcohol.
Oh, yeah.
Now, it's a little bit it's forgivable in your late teens because you're experimenting.
Totally.
You're experimenting with alcohol. You're like,
I give you to 24.
I've seen people drunk. I want to see what that feels like, why they act the way they do. Okay, this is drunk.
I want to fend off the darkness closing in around me.
Yeah, and you also have shit to figure out. Like, I might have taken 5 shots of vodka last night and was fine, and then I took 5 shots of vodka tonight, and I'm not fine. Oh, I didn't realize vodka can come anywhere from 50 proof to 90 proof, and I should pay attention to that.
Oh, why do I feel, like, not euphoric and kind of angry and sick? Oh, I didn't eat anything. Things like that. You learn that over the course of, like, you know, like Bobby said, like 6 years.
Oh, there are beers with 9% alcohol? Maybe then I shouldn't drink 8 of them.
Maybe when I start drinking, I don't stop until I fall asleep, so maybe I should start later.
Yeah.
These things. So when people in their fucking 30s that are regularly fucking fall down, not able to talk, I'm like, I have no fucking tolerance for you. You should know this is what happens when you do this, and you're choosing to do it anyway. How is this fun? You can't walk.
The how is it fun part is what I get. Because I could say, like, okay, I get you're an alcoholic, or I get blah, 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 and you're going to get drunk a lot. But there's a fun part of drunk and there's a not fun part of drunk. And that, like, fall down, vomit, horrible hangover the next day. That's the not fun part.
And you seem to want to fast forward right to that part. That's when people, like you said, I understand. People are alcoholics. I certainly have a problem with alcohol myself. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to fast forward to the I can't talk, I can't walk, everyone wants me out of this room part of it. I actually try to not get there. Like, that's why I like beer, because I'm like, I can sip on these all night. I can slowly feel my buzz creep in towards the end. Like last night I went out with some friends to dinner and then bowling. At the very end of the night, I'm like, damn it, I am drunk now, and I don't like being drunk. I want to go home because this is no longer fun. I've reached the slurring words spot. Now the fun is over, so I might as well call it a night.
And there's the ones who kind of do it themselves, where it's like, all right, I get way too drunk, and then I pass out, and it's like, I feel sorry for you, but that's kind of only affecting you. And then there's the ones who haven't figured out how to not vomit in other people's living rooms, how to not become a drunken, loud mess that gets the cops called at 2 a.m. Yeah. Like, those ones I'm always the most mystified by, but because I'm like, you have what, 15 years of drinking experience under your belt at this point? You haven't figured out that it's not kosher to just vomit on somebody's wall-to-wall carpeting? What's going on
now
with
the
you?
Date thing, now that's the one that really like blows my mind. It was when people, like you said, get fucking tanked before the date starts, and it happens all the fucking time. Like, if you talk to anyone, you will find a person that has been on a date with someone who arrived shit hammered.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
Not buzzed. They're wasted. You might have to hold them up, and they're going to yell the N-word in PB all night long.
I got a friend that does that, man. Not the N-word.
He should meet the girl I went on that horrible first date with.
Well, you got to think of you don't know her story. She's getting ready. She's like, okay, I got to go on a date with a guy who is captain of the boxing team. He fucking digs up graves. Jesus Christ. I got to get ready
Stop talking about his bat lip and his nunchucks. Last time I saw him, he was smoke bombing a cashier who was attempting to film him for being rude.
I think I told you guys this story before, so I won't go super into it, but I will say that it is one of the funniest moments of like matching in my life, because this is a girl who is stunningly beautiful, but undoubtedly was so fucked up, would have no interest in me. She happened to meet me on a night where I was uncharacteristically incredibly drunk at a party at my own condo. And I don't want to say I was being like an undeserved dick, but I was being a dick to somebody who deserved to have somebody be a dick to them very openly and drunkenly and publicly.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh, I like this guy. This guy's a fucking asshole. I like him. And when we went on a date and I was just a normal, nice dude, she was totally lost interest. As the wine bottle went down, she totally lost interest.
Yeah, I do the old Cyrano de Bergerac trick, like some asshole is in the bushes feeding you insults to give.
Ryan, go hang out in the parking lot.
I'm behind a parked car, like, tell her she's paying for her half of the dinner. Oh, what a fucking asshole.
Ask her if she's wearing that to the date.
Hey, stop off for a pack of gum at the CVS and berate the fuck out of that cashier. And then, film them and say this is going on Twitter as you're being the dick.
You know what? Splitting the bill on the meal isn't enough. Ask her to pay for gas.
Yeah, that'd be great. We should open a service.
It would work. Dude, I gotta say, there is a contingent of people that are looking for only other broken people out there, and if you are just coming in as just a regular human being who's nice and considerate and all that stuff, you're out of the game.
I got your commercial right here. Hi, I'm Ryan for AssholeDates.com. There's a lot of people out there looking for someone as broken as they are, and no one comes more broken than me. I can teach you all the tricks. That's a good commercial.
I want the cut to, like, no one is as broken as me. It's just like Ryan beating up an 8-year-old.
I wouldn't leave bruises. I'd hold his head underwater. There's no evidence, you know? Yeah, but anyway, that they are definitely on my list of people that I can no longer tolerate in my 30s. They join a very prestigious list of people that I can no longer tolerate, like...
Guy whose entire personality is the fact that he smokes weed.
Oh, yeah, there's that guy. No tolerance for him. He goes on the list.
My list of people I can't tolerate is just two categories. Pretty simple. Everyone I don't know, and about 2/3 of the people I do know.
I'm going to have to throw on the list a guy or lady who laughs after everything that is said. You'd think that as a comedian, I'd enjoy someone who laughs a lot, but no, when someone's just like, went to the doctor's yesterday, I'm like, nothing that you
said. There's nothing humorous about that.
Punch it up a little.
I get that it's maybe a nervous tick, but sometimes it's not. Yeah. Sometimes just people love the sound of their own voice, and they're so tickled pink by it that every time something dumb falls out of their mouth, they have to go, I want to punch them in the fucking throat.
Side note, that's most of the laughter that people do on a daily basis. Most laughter is not associated with anything funny. It's used as a weird social icebreaker.
That's what Bobby tells himself when he does his act.
We're all fucking apes.
That guy's the close cousin, by the way, of the guy that's confused by everything. Just the person that just walks through life confused. You see them, they walk through a door, they're like, they always have this bewildered look on their face, and I could never stand it. When I worked in the medical field, like, people would walk into my clinic like, I'm like, there's a big sign that says check in, you fucking retard. and that person, very similar, the person that always has to make everything awkward. The person is always pretending every situation is awkward. Yeah. I don't know why that person has to exist.
I think they were empowered by Steve Carell's That's What She Said. I think that's their version of it. Like, if I hear something that could be confused as having like an alternate meaning that's somewhat dirty, I'll just say this.
Well, I mean, here's a perfect example. I know I've told this story before, but it's been a while. I was at breakfast with my then girlfriend and my phone was in the car. I need to know what time it was. I looked at the table to my right, and there's a girl that worked at the building I worked at the time, at the same office building. It was a big building, but I don't know her name, but I know that she works there. I've seen her around. I'm like, excuse me, you guys have the time? They tell me. I'm like, oh, by the way, you work at Bridgepoint, right? And she's like, yeah. And like, she's like giggling to her friends. I'm like, oh yeah, I work there too. I've seen you around the building. She goes, okay. Awkward. I'm like, no, it's not fucking awkward. It's just a human interaction.
Like trying to make it like you're hitting on her or something.
Yeah, oh, look at what a creepy weirdo stalker, right? No, we work at the same building. We ran into each other in a diner. It's fucking...
Yeah, from now on, you need to actually make it awkward. So like, the rule is if somebody says that awkward thing, you got to be like, oh, awkward. Okay, fine. Fair enough. Your mom's a whore.
Well, that's just true and hurtful.
I just dropped my pants. Watch out for snakes.
Hey, how about the one-upper? We all know one of those.
Ooh, the one-upper, man.
Up that one.
Or even better, the two-upper, Dave.
I'll show you, Dave.
No, dude, I had to end a friendship because he was a one-upper. This guy was, he was the worst of the worst. Like, and it was all with when it came to dating and girls. It was always like, he'd go on a date like, how hot is this chick? I'm like, yeah, she's pretty good. Look, I'm going out with this chick. Oh, she's gross. No, I would never. and then it was always like, whoever I was out with was gross. His was hot. And then one time I was dating a girl who he had used to date. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm going out with Laura now. Like, you don't mind. And he's like, I had her first when she was younger. I'm like,
when she was younger.
Like, 2 years younger. Yeah. Okay. Ew, she's 26 now. Yeah.
Spoiled fruit. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, right then, I'm like, I think I need to call it a day on this friendship.
Hey, you know who else is annoying? People who think they can do what you do. Like, we get that a lot with comics.
Yeah.
Everyone thinks they do comedy. But I've seen a couple of people that, I wouldn't call them friends, acquaintances, who just started being quote-unquote photographers.
Oh, yeah.
Because they've seen other people start photography. Like, oh, I have a camera. Yeah. I know how to do this.
Oh, the that person is usually someone who can afford to buy a super expensive one.
Oh, yeah.
And then it's like, oh, I have this $2,000 piece of equipment, and I know how to press the button on it. My pictures are better than yours. No, your camera's better than everyone else's.
I've literally seen these people post pictures, and I'm like, these are not exceptional or even good at all.
No, they're unremarkable.
There's no composition. There's no style. It's just like, it just drives me nuts.
You don't know lighting at all because you probably have never asked anyone that knows more than you.
It drives me nuts when people just think they can, you know what I mean?
Well, it's also a huge investment. What's crazy is like if you look at any of those good cameras, you're talking about thousands of dollars for cameras and lenses and everything like that. And it's a gigantic investment for somebody to do. It's weird.
But they think that investment makes them the qualified expert. Like, oh, I have the equipment. Yeah. That means I'm good enough.
But what's interesting is technically,
anybody can dig up a body and be an archaeologist. I mean,
of course, totally. That's the way it works.
As long as you don't disturb the pelvis. That's just day one stuff.
That's the key
rule.
Save
that for future generations.
Yeah, well, so like technically, I guess if you buy a camera and you're taking pictures, you're technically a photographer, right? You might not be getting paid for it, but you're technically a photographer.
Yeah, if you go up at an open mic and tell really shitty jokes for 3 minutes and no one laughs, you're a comic.
Technically, you're a comic.
And you're not good.
And you can change your Facebook name to your name plus the word comedian.
Yeah.
And then you can go buy a bunch of Instagram followers on the app.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah, well, the photography thing is interesting. I had to buy a nice ass camera to do some work stuff once, and so I use it for fun as well. Obviously, I go around and like take pictures and stuff. But I am shocked because I'm like, I needed this for work. Like, I dropped $1,500 on it, but I needed it. Like, I'm always shocked at the people who just have the $1,500 to blow on something they don't think they're going to be good at. Like, they have no idea. They're like, yeah. Oh, cameras, might as well just buy, you know, a D7. Why not?
Right.
Yeah, but with some of those cameras, it's hard to not be good at it.
Yeah, totally.
So
yeah,
that's
yeah.
why when I see mediocre headshots and shit, I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
How did you fuck that
like,
up?
You don't know what a headshot is, clearly.
Yeah.
Why are you advertising this?
Well, but also it's like, do you just have that $2,000 burning a hole in your pocket? Have you just decided like...
Well, photography, that's the easiest way to scam musicians and comics. That's the big scam that's run on new comics is that some guy will come to you or your band or you as a comedian and say, hey, I want to sign you. I'm a talent agent. Mm. And at first your guard goes up and you go, hey, I don't have to pay you any money, right, for this agent. Oh, no. No, I don't make money unless you make money. I only get 10% of what I make you. And you go, oh... Well, no downside there. It's like, all right, first what we need is to build you a website and get some headshots. You need to go through my web designer and my photographer. Then some dunce with a camera comes and takes a few pictures of you for $200.
Wow.
And then they have that same guy makes you a WordPress website, and then you just never hear from those guys again.
Oh, my God. I had no idea this was going on.
That's a scam. They tried to run it. So many guys tried to run that on me when I started.
Really?
Yeah. I'd say about 3 or 4 different times in my first, like, my first like 2 to 3 years, and at first I they never got a dime out of me. Once money was mentioned at all, I could read between the lines. I'm like, let me see some of your other clients. Oh, I can't share that information. Why can't you? What? Yeah. No, yes, you
That's
can.
That's not how agents work.
That's not how agents work at all.
They put giant pictures of their clients up in their office.
Yeah. So no, that's not true at all.
All the pictures in the office are blacked out. Like
I feel like we got to flip it on them, and we got to be like, "All right, oh yeah, totally." But just so you know, we're gonna like promote you to a whole bunch of comedians, and we only take 10% of what you make from those comedians when we do it.
Or I could just hit him in the fucking stomach.
Yeah, either one.
it's always amusing to me when new photographers offer to do headshots to comics because typically, we're pretty broke as a group.
Yeah.
Sometimes they just want practice, right?
Well, yeah, but no, they want to make some dough from it. So they're like, yeah, I'm offering headshots for only $100. Yeah. It's like, you know what? These guys can't afford fucking food.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
They're too busy buying $2,000 cameras.
Yeah.
There's no low-hanging fruit on this tree.
Last thing before we get out of here, I keep seeing ads for the new Star Wars attraction at Disneyland. That just looks like a fucking nightmare to me. I can't imagine a scenario where you are not just crammed into a space with as many Star Wars fans as they could pack into that park.
Which, that's why I don't like Disney at all.
No.
Like, it just seems like not fun. All the lines, all the people.
I've told you before, I hate theme parks.
Yeah.
For no other reason than for the price of whatever you're dropping in there, which is in the hundreds, you are waiting in lines for...
Yeah.
90% of that day.
Yeah.
I don't understand what's fun about that.
Right.
To go on Space Mountain for like 8 seconds, you know?
Yeah.
I've never seen the appeal. Like, since I was a kid, you don't really process that. All you think is, well, there's Mickey and this ride's awesome. But as you get to be an adult, you like start tallying the day. I'm like, how is this worth it? We're going to make it on 4 rides over the course of 8 hours.
Yeah.
That's clearly not worth it. Besides, those rides are manufactured by fucking engineers. I want to go to the fair.
Where that shit was, of danger.
That was Alan Wrench together by a meth head that morning.
Yeah.
I'm like, now there's some stakes in the game.
You're like, why is your roller coaster made out of IKEA desks? This seems very bad.
And no lines, because very few people are crazy enough to go on that shit. Right. It's very unsafe.
Dude, a friend of mine posted an article that since the Star Wars thing has opened, that regular Disney is kind of deserted because someone's going to the Star Wars park, which... I don't know if that article is satire or not. Like, I can't even tell. I didn't click on it, but I can't even tell what's satire and what's not because they just decided that natural gas is called freedom molecules. Did you see that?
Freedom gas, I think it was. Yeah.
Is that real, Bobby?
Yes.
they're trying to rebrand it. For the same reason they tried to rebrand Freedom Fries, because we're fucking idiots. Like, because...
That was a failed experiment, wasn't it?
I mean, there is, like, some basis to that, because you could make the argument that we have huge natural gas reserves in the United States, and if we run our economy off natural gas, we'd be independent of a lot of the foreign oil and stuff. So, like, there's a basis for it, but it's not like you're actually trying to do that. It's not like there's some, you're like, we're going to call it freedom gas and stop importing stuff from Saudi Arabia. It's like, no, we'll just call it freedom gas.
Now that I'm thinking about it, that whole bit in the early 2000s to call French fries freedom fries because the French weren't backing us in the war.
Right.
We only did it with fries. Like, you didn't see it with anything else. You never went and saw someone at Denny's like, did I have the freedom toast slam?
Yeah.
I didn't hear anyone call it a freedom kiss when they were making it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, why didn't we do it with everything?
Well, it was an interesting thing, too, because we're like, okay, French, you're not going to go into an immoral and possibly illegal war with us. You know how we're going to punish you? We're going to stop calling something shitty by your name. They're like, yeah, please, go for it.
Every time I go to an art gallery, I'm going to wear a freedom beret.
Yeah.
All right, let's call it a week. I'm Ryan for Dave and Bobby. Before we go, June 13th, I am returning to Burning Beard. Bobby will be on that show.
Yeah.
And it's going to be headliner Keith Carey, who you might know from Comedy Central's Roast Battle. Also, on June 28th, I have a new partnership with another brewery, Alpine Beer Co. Very excited to announce this. I'm going to be doing a monthly show there as well, in addition to Burning Beard. The last one was a sellout. It's been a huge success, so we're going to keep doing it. That headliner will be, it's co-headliners, David Rosenberg and Bijan Mustafavi on the
ooh,
next
nice.
One. That's June 28th, Alpine Beer Co. All right. I'm Ryan for Dave and Bobby saying see you next week, cruising with the twos.
I need some ground beef. Give me ground beef.
Yeah, time passing by. Oh, yeah, time passing by. Oh, motherfucking time is passing by.